Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and my interview with Kim Fuller prompted the most number of downloads that we've had in the history of my podcasts. And so clearly these are things you're interested in, and Kim has graciously come back and will appear regularly answering questions that you have. And just so you know how this works, the questions are, the best way to submit a question is through the website in the Ask a Question section. And the questions are going to be accumulated by the Information Advisory Committee, and they will in turn give me a list that I will ask Kim. And so now that you know what the ground rules are, Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me. Look forward to it.
Great. I'm happy too. So the first thing that we'd like to talk about is the revised CCNRs and bylaws, rules and regulations that are being considered now. So would you talk about that, please?
Okay. Now that Pulte is gone, the developer's gone, the original CCNRs have their name in it everywhere. Because naturally, as the developer, they had voting rights on the board. They had board positions. And they're gone. Now we go through and do revised bylaws, revised CCNRs, in order to eliminate them and at the same time make any rule changes we might want. So let's break it into two parts. There'll be substantive changes, and there'll be non-substantive changes. The hope is, I think in the process, is everybody will agree to the non-substantive changes. For instance, we got to remove Pulte's name from this section. I think 3,450 homes will agree we got to remove that name. I would like to think, hopefully when we're done, we're analyzing this, when we present the vote in a ballot form, we'll put all of the non-important items into one section so that everybody can vote yes or no. And just eliminate everything we think 100% of the people will agree to. Now we get to changes that will have differences of opinion. An example. Currently, we have cumulative voting in the election every other year and individual voting every other year. Some people like cumulative voting. Some people don't. So there'll be a section where we will now decide whether we're going to have cumulative voting or not have cumulative voting. Now, everyone needs to also understand, bear with us on this, if we don't present the change, nobody will have the opportunity to vote on that section. So we need to present the change. I don't know that it would be responsible of me as a board member to use my political ability not to present a change in order to maintain status quo when potentially the homeowners want a different process, mm-hmm. whatever that might be. I'll be in favor in whichever process everybody votes on. Mm-hmm. I'll go for it. So those sections we will put out and try to add. The people have to vote one at a time. Yes or no. Do you want this? Do you want this? So in that process, and there'll be, because part of the question is, oh, which are the ones, the controversial topics? There'll be cumulative voting, I think, is one. The number of people it takes to call a special meeting has been proposed to go from 5%, which is like 173 homeowners, up to 500 homes. There's good and bad to that. Some people don't want to call meetings because they're expensive to call easily. Other people go, I want meetings to be called easily, even if there's a cost. Homeowners, you have to decide that. There'll be a change on lease agreements. Currently, the HOA can't go into a lease longer than 1 year. Some people that think that hampers business efficiency. So there are leases that possibly could benefit us if there were 3, 4, or 5 years. We can't do it. So we either don't do it or we have to pay a premium for the lease. So we will go through that process. Now, what this means is there'll be a town hall meeting on April 18th, one at 1 o'clock, one at 7 o'clock, where the changes will be presented, where homeowners can talk about their opinions. And then from April through September, You can log on to the website. There'll be an email where you can write in your suggestions about changes or what you think's positive or negative about what's presented. So we have 4 months to do that. Then the board will take that back and come up with a final draft. And if there's significant changes to that draft, then it's possible we might call another meeting to present before everybody to get their opinion. Then the document will go out for a vote. We need 50% plus one to pass, so we definitely need over 50% of the people to vote. And my hope is that it definitely, on the unimportant items where we're just doing administrative things, that everybody will pass that, we get that out, and then everybody else can vote on the other items the way they wish. Little different in the process this time will be, we'll be mailing out thumb drives for the document. One of the issues is we have to mail this document out for all the homeowners. That's by law. Well, this is a big document, and it would cost over $10 per household to mail it. So you can figure the cost. This is $35,000,
$40,000. Yeah.
Well, if we do a thumb drive, we're hopefully going to cut that cost in half. So hopefully everybody will have a computer capability, but if not, maybe you give it to your friend and have them print the document for you, and or two, you can pick up a hard copy at the HOA office for $10. Namely, we got to charge for the copy cost, because sure. Here we go, because this sure. is a big document. So that's what's going on. That's the changes. Hopefully show up to one of the meetings and answer questions and then give us suggestions. And technically, after all those responses, then I can answer your question, what's controversial, because technically I don't know yet.
Yeah. But just to be clear, 50% of the homeowners have to vote on this. What happens if they don't? If we don't get 50% to vote?
Doesn't go. We start over.
Then you start all
we
over.
We do it again.
All right. So all the homeowners out there, it's really important that you pay attention to this and get your fellow homeowners to pay attention to this, to vote, because otherwise it gets very expensive if this doesn't happen. Okay, question number two. Associa has got a staff member named Michelle Johnson, who is the manager of escrow services. Why are we paying for an escrow manager, and what escrows is she managing?
Okay, I'm going to assume the question revolves around fees for escrow.
Of course.
That the HOA charges a homeowner when they sell their house. First of all, we are not paying. The HOA, first of all, is not paying for her employment. The only people paying the fee is a seller. So by law, when a seller in an HOA sells their home, they're required to produce and disclose a whole list of documents. So they have to do that. If the homeowner wanted to do that on their own, go to the website, pull down the documents, they could probably do it for less than $100. Estimate. When I went to look, it's $80 to $100.
Mm-hmm.
What usually happens is homeowners have the escrow company do it.
Right.
And they instruct the escrow company, well, go get the documents from Shadow Hills HOA. And there's a whole bunch of documents. Well, somebody's got to do the work. Now, if the escrow company is on time and they just request the package is around $280 to $300 for all the documents. You're talking bylaws, minutes for the last year, financials, articles of incorporation, whole list of items. So it's roughly $280 to $300. Every HOA charges about something there when I investigated this, when it brought up. So where the fees go up is escrow companies will wait till the last second and say, we need you to expedite within 48 hours. The fee just went up $150. Because now the HOA has to drop what they're doing, put everybody else on the back burner, and put them to the front, take staffing, and do it. And hopefully everybody will understand, you can't expect a business to stop what they're doing and handle yours at no cost. So if you want FedEx to come sooner, cost you more. If you want them to come later, it's less. Well, same thing here. If the escrow company's on time, it's less money. I don't know of too many escrows that normally close in 2 days. It's usually 30. They have time. They're just not keeping up. So any fees above approximately $500, people are confusing with advanced homeowner fees because people have to pay in advance for fees. So there's escrow fees, and then there's also you have to pay your assessments in advance. That gets wrapped up in there. Mm-hmm. So the HOA might be charging the whole process, the escrow, $800, but you have to remember a couple of months is just the HOA dues that they're going to have to pay anyway.
Yeah.
They get them up front. Yeah. So that's the story with escrow and the fees.
Okay. So question number three is, what three things do you hope to accomplish during your tenure?
You know, somebody asked me this. I do not believe that just because I'm president, I'm the person deciding this. I don't believe that. I am one person of five. And my job, technically as president, is to disseminate information. I'm the conduit to try to get four other people as much information as possible to make a decision. I do have some other responsibility, like running the meeting at the board level in order to hopefully be efficient and get the business done. But the board's the one to decide what is the priority, and it's the board that's ultimately going to decide what they think should be done when, how fast, and for how much. I'm just one part of that vote. So I don't look at it like I'm the guy that's supposed to come up with, oh, here's this plan, like President of the United States, and everybody else is going to fall in step. That's not my role. Mm-hmm. So my role is to hopefully talk to everybody like now, put out information, listen to everybody, and then get the information back to a board, communicate with committees, and then make an efficient decision, hopefully.
Okay. So question number four is, can you explain where we are with the strategic plan?
Okay. A couple years ago, I don't remember how many, 3, 4, 5 years ago, the board came up with a strategic plan. And this is a long-term, this is a plan based upon short and long-term ideas that homeowners and board come to a conclusion with of what they want to see in the future. So currently on the strategic plan, an example is cover the parking lots with solar panels. Provide shade, provide solar. That's down there. Those items come from homeowner input. So there'll be a meeting on June 20th, I believe it is, at 9 o'clock, which is a strategic plan meeting to take homeowner input in a town hall setting. And then there'll be a website link again to say what short and long-term things would you like to see, whether it's changes to the current facility, additions, you know, remodel things. And then we take those, incorporate them, then reach a decision on what we think the priorities are. And then if any of those priorities we think need to be done in 2018, we then submit those into the budget process. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process now of doing that. So keep the meeting date, June 20th, send in suggestions. In the end, the current strategic plan, some items could be removed. Depends on whether they say, oh, if all of a sudden solar panels cost twice as much and there's no subsidy, everybody might say, well, that's coming off. We're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just depends.
Okay. Okay, so question number five relates to Troon. Troon oversees both the golf operation and the restaurant operation here. Could you talk about that from your perspective?
Okay, love to. First of all, let's all think about food and beverage. I got a lot of questions about food and beverage, and a lot of people are concerned because they see that the food and beverage, quote, loses money. And I want to explain to everybody from my position and my experience, the food and beverage will always lose money. Don't let it bother you. What we need to do is think in terms of being as efficient as possible. So remember this. You're not paying to use the restaurant. You are paying to have a restaurant available when you want to use it. There is a cost just to have it available. Now, I'll equate it to you in terms for all the other facilities. We pay a fee to have the tennis courts available, but it doesn't make any money. We pay a fee to have the fitness facility available. Doesn't make too much money, personal training, some. We pay for pools to be available, but whether you swim in it or not, it costs money. We pay for lifestyle people in programming, costs money. When you're all over and done, the $255 when you came here included all these things, including a restaurant to be available, because that is what made people want to buy here. That was another amenity available that was convenient. So you're paying a fee for convenience. But how well Troon has done is this. In 2015, we were paying $12 a month in subsidy. Last year, we did about $7, little less, $6.50. So they've almost cut that cost in half.
Yeah, and Troon hasn't even been here one year
yet. One whole year. Right? That's how well they were doing toward the last 6-7 months. So if they continue on that, our subsidy this year might be only $6 to $7 a month. But it's a subsidy for the convenience of having it here. It's never gonna break even. Country Club's food doesn't break even. They all lose money. Palm Desert loses money. Everybody loses money. So just keep that in mind that, you know, pools don't make money. But we all pay a little bit, so we all enjoy all these different items. So Troon is actually doing a very good job compared to Western Golf and what we're paying today. And I think $6 to $7 a month is pretty reasonable for having the convenience of the restaurant to go there whenever I want. This is pretty nice. Now, in the case of golf, yes, it's true, they didn't do as well as their projections in golf. But they're also having to take, like you said, partway through the year, they had to take on what Western projected. Between the improvement in food and the amount they lost in golf, it almost comes out to be a wash as far as the whole package. But and then Troon commented, you know, in the last board meeting that their January revenue numbers are down because of the rainy days.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, my understanding, and I'm sure FAC might agree, is they're going to rebudget for 2018 and put in for rainy days, because you don't want to budget without rainy days and then spend the money you don't have.
Right. And in fairness, we had a lot more rain this last year than we've had in the last 5 years.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it all hit. Now we'll try to budget more efficiently for 2018. Plan on rainy days. If we don't get them, then the revenue side will do better, but at least we won't have spent money we don't have. So as an operator, Troon's doing very well. Troon's doing very well for us.
Yeah. Well, and as a consumer of both golf and the restaurants, the golf course is in much better shape than it was last year.
Yeah.
And the restaurant, everybody is, you know, complimenting the restaurant experience.
Yeah.
So that has really been upgraded.
Yeah. But I urge everybody, don't think in your wildest dreams that the restaurant is going to turn a profit. The same as your pools, your tennis courts, your pickleball courts, your bocce ball, none of them turn a profit.
Yeah.
It's okay. We pay a little bit so we get all these things, and that's why we have fun.
Great. Okay, next question. Would you please explain the Golf Master Plan?
Okay, the Golf Master Plan. This came about because golf courses wear out like anything wears out. And so in the Master Plan, it was just named the Golf Master Plan. What was worn out, which needed to be redone, is the bunkers on the South Course, the 18-hole course, the big course, the South Course. The greenside bunkers needed to be redone. They're over 10 years old. Life expectancy on bunkers is about 10 years between all the issues that go on with bunkers. So in addition to that, for the Golf Master Plan, there's the Montecito putting course, because although it was installed, it was never installed really well. So that's going to be redone to make it a much nicer putting course. They're going to be putting in lighting on the putting course so that you can play at night, so you can see. And then there'll be leveling part of the driving range because there's a hump in there which you can't use because it's not level. And then they'll be putting in a second putting green on the other side of the driving range away from the existing putting green. So expected cost, I mean, it's all through the reserve study, so it came out of reserves. Estimated budget is $1.2 million. They're now working on gathering all the money, gathering the proposals, gathering the budgets from contractors, and once that's all reviewed, then they can start the process. That could take a little time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you when that'll start, because until all those proposals are in and it's examined, then they would go to work on completing the work.
Do you have a feel for, once it does get started, how long it'll take to complete it?
The estimate I heard, 2 months.
Mm-hmm. So it's a relatively short period.
Yeah, it's short time. Plan on three. Things go wrong.
Yeah, right.
You know, you dig up something goes wrong, you know. But a couple months should do it.
Okay. You know. Next question is, do you have ideas for how we might up the property values here?
Oh, property values. Ladies and gentlemen, I probably commented about this in the election. I do believe the most important thing we can do is the financial health of this HOA. You need stable dues, consistent stable dues, a reserve fund that will pay for things for the future, and you need to maintain everything well. And those items, those things I described, need to meet or exceed the expectation of the homeowners that are here now, and we need to exceed the expectation of the person out in the public who wants to come here. When they drive through our gates, if it doesn't look good, your property value is going to go down. If they come into the clubhouse and it's not maintained well and clean, your property value will ultimately drop. So long term, if you're looking at maintaining your property values, we all need to work together to make sure everything is maintained well, we operate efficiently so we don't have big jumps or special assessments and monthly dues, and we need a reserve so that people will see that there's enough money to maintain everything over years to come so that they believe there isn't going to be a special assessment. Mm-hmm. There's other HOAs in this valley, and I checked them. They can't say that. And I'm not there. That's why I came here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those three items all combined to convince me that this is Shadow Hills has a very good future.
Okay, next question, and this is one that I know you know a lot about, and that is the gym equipment. We have a lot of people using the gym. The gym equipment is quite dated. Do you have thoughts on how we might get updated equipment in here?
Okay. Currently, and this will become a decision for the board after doing some analysis along with the FAC committee dealing with long-term planning. Currently, the gym equipment is on about a 7-year life. That's it's bought and then it's figured to have a 7-year life. There's a very good argument from many people that maybe that should only be a 4-year life. Gym equipment changes, it wears out, and with all the people using it, it can wear out pretty fast. So the analysis was then have to be done, okay, if we switch to a 4-year life, we all have to understand that that changes our reserves. For now, we have to account for it so that we're turning over that equipment every 4 years instead of 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a Kim Fuller decision. That is a financial decision based upon studying that reserve, along with board decision to saying, okay, what can we do, along with everybody in this complex understanding that, oh, this is what it will impact financially. This is how it will affect us,
because
mm-hmm. it will change our reserves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand why people think the gym equipment is dated. 7 years is a pretty long time for gym equipment.
Yeah, no, well, another obvious question is the feasibility of leasing rather than buying.
Okay, a lot of people think that if you lease equipment, fitness equipment, it means you get new equipment every year or every 2 years. It doesn't work that way. Leasing is simply an alternative to purchasing because you don't have the money to pay for the equipment at the time. You would analyze both a lease and a purchase to determine which one economically saves you money. And it just depends at the time. Some lease deals are good, some are not. Usually, my experience after a long time doing this is most leases cost more money. If you have the money, you purchase it and you come out way ahead. Now, the other issue for Shadow Hills is strictly they can't lease it because they can't lease anything over 1 year at the moment. That will be a proposed change in the CC&Rs. Most of these fitness companies will lease it for 3 years. And basically, at the end of 3 years, the equipment's worth a dollar, and it's yours, and then you can sell it and buy new, do whatever you want. But it's not just like, oh, here you go, you get something back for it. You don't. It's yours for a dollar. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, our hands are tied. We can only purchase. Usually, that's the better economic way to go. I would always look at the paperwork, but I have not seen a lease in the fitness equipment business be economically more efficient.
Okay.
I've never seen one.
Mm-hmm.
So I've purchased my equipment for 35 years.
Okay.
Because I save a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a very good answer to that question. Okay. And the final question regards tree trimming. There is a lot of people have felt that 3 years is too long to wait for their trees to be trimmed.
Okay, tree trimming. Yes, the trees on the golf course, we're on a schedule of every 3 years. That's just been changed. So it is now on a schedule of every year. So everybody that didn't like the tree trimming every 3 years, which I totally understand, hopefully it's really nice now because it's going to be done every year. And basically, one Hortex contract, a landscapers, was doing part of it. Troon was doing part of it. So now it's getting combined. So one company is going to do the tree trimming, and it's part of their contract. And now it's going to be done every year. And I believe that was just voted on before I came to the board. I read about that in the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly recent. This happened maybe December, January. Okay. So it's all new. But
well,
the trees are going to be trimmed.
That's good to know. Do you have... Do you know when they're going to start?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be looking for that in a subsequent podcast.
Yes. I'll get a question, and I'll go look it up.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for today. Kim, thank you so much for participating in this. I'm sure the homeowners will appreciate it as well. And as we said before, this is going to be done on a regular basis. And the frequency depends a lot on how many questions come in. And so if there are things on your mind, don't be shy. Send the question in through the website, and we will get on it.
Thanks very much for having me. I look forward to coming back soon.
Okay, and so until next time, thanks for your attention. Bye-bye.